The views shared in this program are those of the speakers and may not necessarily reflect the beliefs of Lion and Lamb Ministries. We're honored to walk with you in the pursuit of Scripture and faith in Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you for viewing our program.
Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of the Lion Share. We're having an opportunity to meet other people in the ministry, see what God is doing all around the world. This is going to be a very interesting interview for you. In the last few weeks, we've been sharing with you interviews that we did at the NRB convention back in February. I remember that date back then. And in this episode, we're talking with Dr. Hormoz Shariat, founder and director of Iran Alive Ministries, and is bringing the gospel message to Iranian citizens. During our discussion, Dr. Shariat talked about becoming a believer, turning to faith in the Messiah, and building and starting his ministry, and what is happening in Iran today. Here's my interview with Dr. Hormoz Shariat.
Dr. Shariat is the founder and director of Iran Alive Ministries. And yes, I said that right, Iran Alive Ministries. And you've been about the business for the last 40 years, sharing the gospel in Iran with the Muslim people. Tell us about this organization that you have.
Well, we use, I cannot go to Iran. I'm from Muslim background. I was born in Iran as a Muslim. I came to the United States for graduate studies at the University of Southern California. That's where I compared the Bible and Quran. By comparing them, I came to Jesus. Before that, I thought, all religions are the same. Why do they fight? Everything is the same. And I wanted to prove that they're basically the same. But when I read the Quran and the Bible, I realized, no, they're not the same. Allah is not Jehovah. Jehovah is not Allah. So I went through few months of study, then I went to church and I heard the gospel, and that changed my life. It really excited me. Why? Because I was a scientist, research scientist, and here, the simple message of the gospel, I was making it too complicated. Even a child can understand the gospel, but it's powerful. It changed my life, it healed my marriage, and I felt I'm selfish if I keep it to myself. So I started sharing the gospel with other Iranian Muslims. First, they were resistant, but gradually they came to Christ. As a result, in Northern California, hundreds of Muslims came to Christ, planted several churches in Northern California. But after 9/11, said, hey, we got to do something.
Okay.
If we don't go out with the love of Christ, Muslims will come with the hatred of Allah. That's what we saw in 9/11. So I knocked on doors and said, we want to buy airtime satellite to go over the heads of the mullahs into people's home. We got 1 hour a week. From day one, we saw Muslim being saved.
So and through satellite signals enter Iran. Right. That's how you're reaching the people.
We started 1 hour. Now we are 24/7. The signal comes from the sky into people's home. And the government of Iran cannot stop it.
They can't stop it.
Yeah.
Well, that's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. And it's amazing to hear the response. Now, I'm assuming that a lot of the believers in Iran have to be kind of quiet about things, maybe not so obvious to the rest of the community. How would you characterize that?
Yeah, they come to Christ. Iran is different in terms of persecution from other Islamic nations. In other Islamic nations like Egypt or other, when somebody comes to Christ, it's usually friends and family members to turn against them, honor killing the neighbors, not in Iran.
Okay.
In Iran, when somebody comes to Christ, most often the whole family comes to Christ.
Oh, they have the whole positive, house.
The whole house or friend, they come to Christ because they already have a very positive view of Christianity. Now, where does the persecution come in Iran? In other nations, is by people. In Iran is not by people. It's by the government of Iran.
Okay.
And their motivation is political. Hey, we're losing control. Millions are becoming Christians.
Right.
And everyone that becomes Christian, we lose control over their mind and their life. So persecution in Iran is by the government, and the purpose is, the root is fear. They're afraid.
Right.
They're afraid of Christianity growing and become out of hand.
Right.
And that's why they persecute. The goal of persecution of the government in Iran is to put fear in the hearts of Christians. Don't evangelize. Don't gather. Okay, you become a Christian, go into your home, lock the door, be a Christian there. But don't dare attend the church or pass on the Bible.
So you're able to broadcast 24/7. You have multiple programs. You have several teaching programs. Tell me about your content of how what you share.
Good question, because 24/7 is a long time. We do some of it, programming a few hours live. If I'm in town, I'm on television two times. But I have other people, the testimony, prayer, and all that. But I have many American pastors and mission-minded organizations who come and join. They broadcast on our channel.
Right.
An independent survey has shown, they told us, it was done in Europe, they told us, you have 7 million daily viewers. They asked 50,000 people, what do you watch? And they realized, oh, this channel,
you
our
have
channel,
an audience.
Very popular.
Very powerful so, audience.
When I talk to American pastors who want to reach out to Middle East, I tell them this. Hey, I worked for 24 years to gather 7 million people. It's like in a great stadium.
Yes.
And you can come and preach to them. So I encourage people, if you want to change Iran, if you want to reach out to 7 million inside Iran, contact us. Let's talk. You can be on our channel, preaching to people and help build his kingdom in Iran.
Wow, that is excellent.
Yeah.
And incredible about what their response is. Are there any communications of them to you other than you know they're there? Are there any ways that you're able to connect with them on a more personal level, shall we say?
Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. The technology is such a way that they can connect with us in a secure way.
Yes.
And we have the fastest growing segment of our ministry is online churches. We have done underground churches the last 20 some years, but that is kind of very slow growth. Online church, fast growth. Why?
Wow.
Because underground church is very dangerous.
Right.
But
exactly.
Online church, no. You can go anonymous in a group, get the teaching, you know, with a fake name. You can be there. So,
wow. So that's really fascinating that just getting it out through the satellite, going down, and they can listen to it when they want. That's how it's really getting out.
Right.
Just being open in the daytime.
Right.
Being out to them. Well, praise the Lord.
They
that's
contact
incredible.
Us. We send them Bible. We plug them in into schools, plug them into church, and they grow. Many of them are
serving.
So
do you print material in Farsi for them?
Yeah, Farsi. And with American resources in English, we have a great team of translating, dubbing, and subtitling.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That's incredible.
Yeah.
All right, for your broadcast there, tell me what you think is really going to be happening in the Middle East prophetically. What are you anticipating to happen?
Well, one big thing, according to the Bible, that Iran will be a Christian nation. I say that, and people say, hey, are you crazy? Where did you get that idea? I say, well, I stole that idea.
Okay.
I stole that from Jeremiah 49:38.
Okay.
It's a promise of God that he says, I will set my throne in Elam, which is completely inside the land of Iran.
Right.
So Iran is fast moving towards becoming a Christian nation, and it will be sooner or later, but it might be sooner than we think.
Right.
So that's what's happening with the midst of all the wars, all this suffering, sanctions, economy, threats, all that. God is saving Iran, saving millions of Iranian Muslims.
Right.
And I can see, not in far in the future, that Iran will influence the whole Middle East and maybe even the world with its gospel. And Jesus says, I will set my throne in Iran, and says he will do it in Jerusalem. What does it mean? He set his throne in Jerusalem. Can you envision that Jesus is at Jerusalem, his throne is there, and he's just happy? Oh, this city loves me and worship me. He's not going to be happy with that. He says, I'm sitting my throne in Jerusalem so I can send you out to the world. I love the world. That's why he will send many Jews. If you read in the book of Revelation, he will send many Jews outside. The same with Iran. God will use Iran to bring the gospel to the Middle East and impact the world.
Well, one of the things that I've discovered in my own understanding of world missions, until you raise up some of the people that are indigenous to that land, you're not going to be successful in sharing the gospel. So obviously God raised you up, having come from that land, to be the right voice, the right vehicle to be able to reach those people for it. And I'm so glad that you were able to join our program so our folks could learn, hey, God is working with Iran too.
Yeah.
And not just everybody else, but also with Iran. And I think that's going to be an amazing, encouraging word to our folks to hear that testimony for it.
Amen.
I will continue to pray for you and for
you.
All the brethren that are in Iran. And we certainly thank you for taking a few moments to come over and talk to us here about your ministry.
Thank you. There's so many testimonies. I want to encourage your audience to go to Iran Alive, one word, iranalive.org. Sign up for the newsletter. The least is that you get encouraged and informed. God is doing great work in Iran.
Praise
and
Lord.
You read it and you will be so, your faith will be so pumped up because God is making history in Iran as inviting you and me to join him.
Amen.
I want to share with you a sermon I shared on our satellite channel today. You know, an independent survey has shown that we have over 7 million viewers every day. And probably our church service has even more. So these people are looking for hope, for information, for encouragement. This is what I shared with them. First of all, the Bible, Matthew 24, talks about the wars and rumors of wars and every bad thing. But then in the middle of it, the Lord says, don't be afraid. My message to them is, don't be afraid. It's natural to be afraid. It's natural in this situation to be confused, to be hopeless. But I told them, that's not you. That's not me. We are children of God. We are not afraid. The Bible says, I've not given you the spirit of fear. I've given you the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. That's who we are. We know what we're doing. We know what will happen. We have no fear. Actually, the darker it gets, the brighter we shine. Then I told them about the future. We know the future. We are not confused. We know where we're going. Iran is moving towards salvation. We are not hopeless. We have a hope. We have a promise. The Lord says, I will set my throne in Iran. We know the end result, Jeremiah 49:38. So I told the people of Iran, God is with you. In the midst of all these troubles, he is doing something great. He wants to save you. And he wants to use you to save others. I commissioned them. At the end, I prayed to commission them. Hey, go be instrument of transformation for the Lord. Go with love. Go with faith. Go with hope. Because these three things stay, right? These are the eternal things. Don't look at the temporal things. Look at and focus on eternal things. Love, faith, hope. They're eternal. So I prayed for them. And I send them out. I said, go be the good news. Go share hope. Go share love. Go share faith with others. And I commission you to do the same, wherever you are. Please be in touch with us. Know the Lord is doing something great in Iran, and I want to encourage your heart. You hear a lot of bad news everywhere, but I have daily good news for you. God is doing something great in Iran. Let's be in touch. And be up to date. God bless you.
This is Dr. Sherrod. He is from Iran, and he is Persian born. He's Iranian born. And of course, Iran is a very important subject in the Middle East, what's going on right now. Dr. Sherrod, welcome to our program. And I'm very curious about your insights as to current events that are happening right now, particularly with Iran.
Yeah,
and the whole Middle East. How do you view what's going on at present day?
Well, as an Iranian Muslim who came to Christ, and I ministry to Iranians daily through media, satellite television, and online, I'm in touch with the people of Iran all the time. Now it's a critical time in the history of Iran, both politically and spiritually.
Right.
Spiritually, it's an open heaven in Iran. Iranian Muslims have rejected Islam, very open to the message of the gospel. That's why Iran has the fastest growing evangelical population in the world.
Wow.
Now, when you get to political side, you know, the government of Iran is oppressive. It's threatening Israel. Even last week, they threatened that we're going to wipe Israel off the map again.
Right, yes.
So, and they are developing nuclear bomb. And it's the most dangerous time for the Iranian government in Israel. Because the Iranian government has become so weak. They lost their supporters in Hezbollah, Syria, Hamas, and everything. So they don't have power as before outside. And now they're such a weak point. And with Trump, they're going to have financial crunch. So why is it dangerous? Because they're cornered. We have a saying in Farsi that a cornered cat will act like a lion. So it's very dangerous because they're so powerless that right. They may use nuclear bomb. Right. That's the danger. Otherwise, Iranian government is at its weakest point, both inside and outside.
Well, both Israel and the United States have made a very strong statement. They will not tolerate Iran building a nuclear weapon.
Well, in Iran, the ultimate power is with the supreme leader.
Right.
So even if the guards were saying something, it's already prearranged, pre-agreed.
Okay.
Kind of like a hardliner. Hey, we are here to fight. We are ready to fight.
Okay.
And other allies says, okay, let's talk. You know, but
okay.
They're using both. But it's one strategy. It's not two strategy. And the Iranian government is so weak that they will sit down, in my opinion, sit down with Trump. And Israel and negotiate, of course, under the table because they don't want to lose face.
Right.
It's not going to be popular.
Exactly. But it's very important that they don't lose face, that not be embarrassed.
That's right.
But they be able to work something
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
I truly hope that they do come to some kind of negotiation because
that's my feeling because both sides, Trump wants to negotiate, they want to negotiate. And Trump kind of threatening is. He's a deal maker, so he's doing that so they will come at the to the table for negotiation.
Your assessment, do you think that Trump will also influence Israel and tell them to be patient and allow the diplomacy to work, see if what Trump can do will be accomplished before they let Israel do anything?
My feeling, as I've seen, that Israel will not decide on its own and to attack or not to attack.
Good.
I think it's a coordination with Trump. And even if in public, in the news, they come and it sounds like Israel say, I'm going to attack them. And Trump said, please.
Right.
It's already decided
right.
in their personal negotiation.
Now, there's another news event that I heard not too long ago where the Iranian government last year executed nearly 1,000 people in Iran. How's that affected the believers, the new believers over there? Are they?
Yeah, some of them have been believers and they're believers in jail. So the strategy of the Iranian government, both for believers and non-believers, for any opposition is a strategy of fear and intimidation.
Right.
So what they do is they'll execute a few.
Right.
1,000 is not few.
Send the message out.
Send the message out. Hey, we are serious. We may have lost Syria, we may have lost Lebanon, but
But we're still here.
Don't dare, don't dare speak up.
Right.
We're still strong with you. We're gonna take care of you if you speak up. Yeah.
Is it true that the Iranian government is afraid of regime change, that they think there's the chemistry, Iran itself could change its government in the future? Do they have that
by
fear?
By the people, very unlikely.
Okay.
It has to be within themselves fighting, maybe the revolutionary guards turn against the mullahs, the clerics. That's the only way. The people of Iran are not at the point that they can do it. They tried it several times and they were killed by thousands on streets and 30,000-40,000 were arrested by government statistics. And when in jail, they were raped, they were tortured, and they were executed. So the people of Iran are so oppressed. They're in their home, no hope. And that's why Jesus is their only hope.
Right.
They are no hope. That's why they, did you know they're Netanyahu is more popular in Iran than is his own country.
Oh, my goodness.
Is his own country. They love it.
Now that is news to me.
Incredible. They're saying, Netanyahu, we support you. What you did with Hezbollah, that you destroyed 17 of their top leaders, and then Hassan Nasrallah, would you come and do the same for us? Don't attack our people, but attack our leaders, just like, you know, laser accuracy, kill them.
Exactly.
So, and Trump is very popular in Iran. They call him Uncle Trump. Uncle Trump. Come and save us. Do something.
Okay.
That shows the desperation that they have no hope.
Right. So obviously, Iran was a big supporter of Hezbollah, and Hezbollah has been completely knocked back on their heels in Lebanon. But we also know that Turkey is also getting involved, particularly with Syria, and has always been a helper to Hamas in Gaza. And we've heard a report lately that Turkey has been taking some of the leaders from Hamas back into Turkey and so forth. Can we speak to a little bit, what is Iran still trying to do with bolstering Hezbollah and still trying to maintain a hand in what's going on there? Now,
well, Iran has lost its influence in those countries, and they cannot gain it back that easy. So there is a vacuum of power in the Middle East. Turkey is trying to fill that power. Okay.
Yeah.
Iran is out. We are here. So
do you agree that that's still an ominous thing for Turkey to fill in that spot, or do you think that's a good thing? Him trying to fill that void, that vacuum from Iran.
Well, Turkey is moving towards Islam, and you see the persecution of Christians in Turkey is increasing, and I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes a wave of persecution comes against Christians even in Turkey.
Okay.
So bad news for Christians everywhere when Iran or Turkey come in power. So, but they have their own political agenda. Islamic agenda, spiritual agenda is not on top of their motivation list.
Okay.
It's somewhere there, but mostly it's power and its influence and its money for both sides. That's what drives them. They're not fanatic Muslims saying, I have to make everybody Muslim.
So Turkey might be moving into the whole area because they want to exploit the situation for their own gain.
Right.
Is that what you're suggesting?
They like that.
Yeah.
They have, since after Iran's defeat in the Middle East, they sense an opportunity. That's why they helped for the Assad's government to topple.
Right.
They had a good part in it. For that.
They
like that. This is a historical opportunity for Turkey that always wanted to have a say in the Middle East. With Iran pulling back, they're coming in.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's a sense that I have concern about Turkey just filling the void of where Iran has pulled back.
Yeah.
And the sanctions that now that Trump has put on Iran in an effort to try to dry up their oil sales and that they lose their revenue. You know, money is what makes the world go around.
That's
and if they don't have any, they can't make the world go around.
Yeah.
So it's a changing world for us. And hopefully, like what you said, the desperation and so forth will lead to people calling out to the Lord and finding the salvation of the Lord in that whole situation for it.
That's right. And it continues. God is moving in the midst of all these news that you hear. It doesn't sound good. Like even the sanctions in Iran, it's going to hurt the people even more, but it's going to open the heaven spiritually more among people.
Right.
So God is at work in the midst of all of this. But the sanctions that Trump is putting is really a negotiation strategy. Let's put pressure so they will come and talk on a negotiation table, but from a weak point, not a strong part.
Right.
So I can have an upper hand.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Sherrod, thank you so much for
God
your insights into Iran and what's going on today. Obviously, it's a key player in the Middle East story today with Israel and all of its neighbors, the Iranian influence and the conflict that is there. Hopefully, the conflict will be reduced, and hopefully the gospel will go forward in all of these nations and so forth.
When I ask you to pray, because Iran Alive, you can go to iranalive.org, see great things God is doing in Iran. Pray for us. Come and join us. Let's make history in Iran.
Amen. Amen. And so if you're interested in more information about Iran Alive, share with them, Dr. Fraud, how they can contact Iran Alive, how they can get more information about your ministry.
They can do two ways. One, go to our website, iranalive.org. Okay. And I encourage you to sign up. At the least is you get some encouraging news and stories to encourage your heart. And another easier way is to text the word to a number. The number is 85789. You know, you want to text, instead of putting a number, put 85789 and text the word Iran, I-R-A-N.
All right.
You get a set of links that testimony links, links to our website and everything you may like.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm so pleased that we got a chance to talk to a real expert from Iran.
Dr. Shariat gave us great insight into what's going on in Iran today. And if you'd like to learn more about his ministry and how they are helping the Muslims come to know the Lord, please go to his website, iranalive.org, and you'll learn all about the ways they are bringing the gospel to Iran and to their citizens. So this is our program for this week. Shalom to all of you.